prepared to enter into a very wonderful subject related to the month of Purushottam, the month in which we presently are. I would just like to give you a very, very brief summary about the speciality of the month, and then go right into the 15th chapter of the Purushottam Yoga. Purushottam Mass, or the month of Purushottam, is also known as the extra month, which came into the world in order to balance the moon calendar with the sun calendar. And as it entered the world, it was not looked upon very graciously. It's cried because it was totally rejected, and called out to Lord Vishnu to help. And Vishnu took the month in Krishna's presence, and Krishna accepted the month. Now, the moment someone is accepted by Krishna, everything changes about his life. Everything becomes different. He comes under the control, or the supervision, or the guidance of the spiritual energy. He's no longer a victim of the material energy, who's pushed around like a football by Maya. Krishna pronounced at that time a special blessing upon the months. He said, henceforward I have accepted this month. From today I will uplift him to a status similar to mine. And then he said, all the virtues that have rendered me famous as Purushottam in this world, and even my name, I gift to this month. And then he even said, it's so difficult to attain me in Goloka, but anyone who observes the month and its specific rules will obtain the eternal spiritual world without any differences. Last time we had given you a very brief list of what can be done to observe this month and then obtain the spoon. It started with chanting the holy name, then reading the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. You can also make a study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Additionally, then you should give charity, and finally, every day you should offer a lamp to the Lord. We will speak about this a little separately. If you wish to know about the month of Purushottam and what you can do, I have posted a very brief description about this, and you might like to read it. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says something about this month. He says something very, very nice. Hey Jiva, he says, during this extra month, why should you remain lazy in Hari Bhajan? Srimad Golokanath himself, the Lord of the spiritual world Goloka, has ascertained that this month is indeed the best of all. In this month, you should perform archana, or worship, of Sri Sri Radha Krishna with special rules or moods for your bhajan. you will thereby attain all types of perfection. So yes, the scriptures and the acharyas are in one mind. This month gives special blessings to those who just observe a few simple rules in their worship of Krishna. One of them was to recite the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We do this regularly in our little ashram, and I must tell you, we are now, I think, in the half of the month, and somehow we got the rhythm of chanting the Sanskrit slokas, and it is such a blessed time which we all look forward when we start with the first verse and then goes up to the 20th verse of the chapter. It is very brief, and it feels really wonderful to do so. We will chant also the verse of the 15th chapter today, so you will get the idea of the meta, the melody in which you can chant. But first of all, I would like to give you a deep reflection about the 15th chapter. It is something which is necessary for us to understand if we wish to really go deep into what Krishna explains there. It's all about thinking differently. You see, in this world, we are taught, pursue your dreams, aim high, make a difference in your life. But the Gita says, better than pursuing your worldly dreams is to discover the reality of the spiritual world. Because the reality is that what you will find in this world never matches with your dreams. You will always end up either disappointed or with a parched or dry heart, which is not nourished, even if you have material success. In the spiritual world, however, it is different. In spiritual life, it is a very, very, let us say, very rewarding if you discover the spiritual, the reality of the spiritual world. You will soon find out is it exceeds even your boldest dreams. You become so happy that you think, how could I be so much an illusion before? And this is simply because this world is secondary. It's a reflection of the real world. Krishna in the 15th chapter, Purushottam Yoga, gives an analogy to help us understand. He says the real world is like a desire tree under which Radha and Krishna stand, but this world is like a reflected tree. Those who have seen a tree standing at the bank of a river or a lake know that the reflection never gives the same benefit as the substantial tree, the real tree. The fruits in a reflected tree cannot be enjoyed. If you try to eat a mango that is reflected in the water, the reflected mango tree, you just bite into water. You cannot have the very sweet taste of the mango. So in the same way, the world can never, ever fulfill its promises to make the jiva or the living being happy. It just does not match up. However, if you understand one simple secret that Krishna explains in the Purushottam Yoga chapter, you can even experience the richness of the spiritual experience while still being in this world. This secret is, you need to transfer your attachment from matter to Krishna. The substance of our material life is that it is based on desire, based on unlimited desires that we want to fulfill in this world, life after life even. And the basis of spiritual life is that this attachment, which is the fundament of this whole material existence, it's the water on which the tree reflects itself, that this attachment is transferred to Krishna. See, that's why you find two different perspectives of this world. One perspective is, it's a place of suffering and misery. Krishna describes it in the Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam ashashvatam, full of a dukkha or misery and temporary. But at the same time, Krishna says, someone in this world can see happiness everywhere. It's a place of unlimited happiness. The world, or the body is sometimes described as kleshada, that which gives you misery. But at other times it's described, the body is described as that which gives you great benefit, or artada. So how can we reconcile these two opposing statements? One, the world is a miserable place of suffering. The other is, you can see in this world, vishvam purnam sukhayati, happiness wherever you look. The body is a place of where you get misery. On the other hand, it gives benefit. How can we reconcile? Well, it's like this. If you have attachment to the items of the world and you try to enjoy the reflection, you will only see misery. But if you increase your attachment to Krishna, then your happiness will increase and you will be happy everywhere, because you have cut the illusion. When you attach to Krishna, you have cut the roots of this reflected tree. You have found Krishna, and then everything changes for you. Every single thing changes for you. I would like to give you a traditional example of this. Once there was a great king called Janaka, and he received a saint in his court, Agastya. And Agastya was known for his unconventional way of teaching. He had come into the court to enlighten King Janaka. So Janaka asks him a question. Why is it so difficult to give up attachments. I think we all know, even though we hear from the Bhagavad Gita that this world is only a reflection and we cannot enjoy it, we have difficulties to give up the attachment. So he asks, why is it so difficult to give up attachment? So Agastya looks at the king. He starts to run towards a pillar in the court and embraces it and screams out, let me go, let me go, let me please go. Janaka thinks, what is the matter? Then Agastya simply lets go and he walks out of the court. And before he reaches the gate, the door of the court, he turns around and says, it's only here, the attachment. You can simply let it go if you understand the miserable nature, the bounding nature of attachment. And then he leaves. I was for a long time doubtful. Is it really that simple? And then I understood, if you are enlightened by knowledge that dispels the darkness of ignorance, then you can conquer the misery of material attachment. It's just like when the sun rises. I would like to give you a modern example which I heard yesterday. In London, they have these dog races. They are called greyhound races. Maybe you have seen. They're the skinny dogs who can run really fast. They have to run against each other. The way it is, these races work, is the dogs are kept in boxes. Maybe, I don't know, I never visited such a race, but let us say 15 dogs next to each other. And then there is a rabbit. It's connected with some, it's an electrical rabbit. And it's not a real rabbit, it's made out of plastic. But it looks like the rabbit, with big eyes, not eyes, ears, yes, and round eyes and so on. So they open the boxes and then at one, suddenly there is some electrical impulse and the rabbit will race around the tracks and the dogs trying to catch the rabbit, run after it as fast as they can. And whoever is the fastest, he is the winner. They never reach the plastic rabbit. And if they would, it's only out of plastic. Now, if one dog, someone who worked there has informed us, if one dog understands it's only a plastic rabbit, it cannot satisfy the dog appetite, then his racing career is over, because he has no motivation any longer. He has seen through it, and he just stays, why should I run until my heart explodes? Sometimes dogs who run that fast are dying in the racing tracks. Why should I do this? Why should I compete like this? It is not in my interest. And he walks out of this situation. This happens when someone, through knowledge, can see through the illusion of material attachments and fix his gaze, fix his attachment, fix his life in the service of Krishna. Then he says, why should I continue this dog race of material existence? Let me go, let this all go on. I will participate as much as I need to keep the body and the life and my various responsibilities going all right, but I don't really wish to participate any longer in this endeavor, which can never satisfy me, just like it's not possible to become satisfied with the reflection of a fruit tree, or the reflection of anything. This reflection, as we heard earlier, is based on the desire, on the attachments, and when the attachments is given up through knowledge and bhakti, we hear bhakti, no? Devotion to Krishna, then it is very, very easy to escape the harmful material life, the harmful material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, I will read you now what we have covered. The Lord starts the yoga or a Purushottam yoga chapter by saying, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Udva mulam adhashakam ashvatam prahuavyayam chandam siyasya panani yastam veda saveda vitra. It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree. Oh, that stands upside down because it's a reflection. No? And he then says, the real form of this tree cannot be so easily perceived in this world. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with a weapon of detachment. Therefore, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, one never returns. And there, surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. No? So, very nice example. Here's the real tree. Here is the reflected tree with its faults, fruits, the world, the material, the universe of changes. Jagat means it's always moving, changing. It doesn't stand tomorrow any longer. Everything changes. So one must leave that reflected world. One must in fact cut it with attachment, with detachment, I'm sorry, because it's based on attachment. One must cut it with the sharpened axe of detachment and surrender. I think it is clear to cut it, to use the axe. It's not just a matter of understanding things. You need the strength of surrender. You need the strength of devotion. You have the axe of knowledge, but not the strength, not the determination of devotion. You cannot use the axe. You can't lift it. You are afraid of it, unreasonably afraid of detachment, and you will continue. The moment there is in your heart this idea of surrendering to Krishna, trying to do it as good as you can, at that time your knowledge will help you and it will increase. It will blossom, it will become stronger, like a lily or a lotus flower becomes stronger when and opens up when there is soft moonshine. So when there is bhakti coming in the heart, then your knowledge will blossom forth and it will be as easy to give up the false reflection as it was for the Saint Agastya to give up the pillar and just say, you just move away from the pillar. That is what he wanted to show to Janaka. Now, the question is, of course, what is the complete process of this yoga, this Purushottam yoga, where you are going to the spiritual world, not stopping even in the Brahman, but actually going to Krishna? What is the exact process which you have to do? Well, Krishna has spoken about it. He has said, "Adyam Purusham Prapadye." That's in the fourth verse. Surrender to the Supreme Person. I think you all know the process of surrender, but I would like to spell it out and make it very, very clear and very simple and very doable, actually. I've written this down for us. It starts by anukulyasya sankalpa, accepting those things that are favorable for devotion. Very simple. You add something positive to your life. And from there, this simple activity of adding the nectar of spiritual practice to your life, you will be able to do everything easily. You will be able to simply give up what is harmful to you. You will have that happy feeling which makes your life so ecstatic. The Lord will take care of me. He will protect me. And He will also maintain me. He will take care that my needs are carried to me. This doesn't mean you stop endeavoring, but it means you give up your anxiety. You try your best and the Lord will do it. And in this way you will move on to the difficult to attain level of full surrender, and you will actually have a deep sense of dependence on the Lord. Humility will be there. See, the greatest danger which we are here again and again and again about, the greatest danger is actually this false pride, which is not good for our spiritual path. Remember, when Krishna performed his pastimes, Indra, the king of the universe, very high position, saw how the residents of Vrindavan, where Krishna lived, followed Krishna's advice. What was that advice? Krishna told them, don't continue to offer to Indra. He has not shown once a favor to you. He has never shown that he accepted your offering. Instead, worship the sacred mountain Giriraj. And the Vrajabasis, the residents of Vrindavan, had done so. And at the end of the worship, actually, Krishna wanted to show that he accepts any offering that is given to him. He himself took on a huge form, the form of Giriraj, showing that he is identical with the sacred mountain, and showing that he who worshipped Krishna as a little boy is identical with the one who was worshipped, Giriraj. When Indra saw this, he was very, very angry because his pride had been hurt. And he attacked his own master, Krishna, with an apocalyptic rainstorm. Later, when Indra saw his mistake, you know, Krishna responded to the attack of the clouds which would bring about the destruction of the universe by simply lifting the hill with a little finger of his left hand, smilingly. He was there under the mountain. Mother Yashoda and the Vrajabasi said, "Oh, my dear son, this must be very difficult for your soft fingers. You are not used to do hard work. You are a small boy. You are so soft and you're carrying this hard rock mountain." Krishna said, no, I feel no inconvenience. And he joked, "You know, Giriraj is actually flying in the air and I'm just holding it like this. Nothing to worry, mother. It is very convenient for me. And please do give me a little bit more samosa and sandesh." And Yashoda then, "What, this boy, he thinks of eating now?" She fed Krishna in a motherly, affectionate way. So, yes, Krishna easily defeated the pride of Indra by doing his miracle pastimes of lifting Giriraj. First, he had become Giriraj. That was a miracle in itself, and he had described, and he had said, "Shaila lose me, I'm that mountain." And then he had also lifted the Giriraj, a whole mountain, all by himself. This was enough to help Indra to wake up. And when Indra saw this, and woke up from his pride and illusion, he came with tearful eyes to Krishna. He begged his pardon and he said, "My Lord, I was pramatta, I was maddened by pride." The pride covers everything. Pride covers our spiritual vision. Pride covers our perspective. Pride covers even our devotional bhava, whatever we have, the devotional mood, everything is covered by pride. Therefore, everyone, in whatever position they find themselves, from beggar to king, from new beginner in spiritual life to acharya in spiritual life, must guard against the pitfall of pride. So now you will ask yourself, yes, Maharaji, but how should we practice this yoga of, you have said, just to detach ourselves with knowledge that the material world is false or miserable? That will not will not be very good. You know, it will not work. We have a story about a hermit who has left the world. This is a story from Germany. He is living in the forest, but all he can think about is, will someone see that I have renounced the world? Will someone praise me for this? This hermit used to be a very strong bodybuilder. He used to wrestle people down. But in the forest, he is no longer doing this. In the forest, he is fasting and praying. But still, he thinks, I used to be the best wrestler. Now let me be the best hermit. Such stories are there. And he cannot make any advancement because he's covered by this problem of pride. The scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita, gives us a very, very nice verse in which the complete method is described to all of you. It's a text number 5. Those of you who have the Bhagavad Gita can chant it from the book, and I believe the verse is coming up now for you in the comment session. I will request Gokrishna to chant the melody, or to play the melody on this harmonium. There are really only 2 melodies in the 15th chapter, 2 meters. One you know already, you know in verse 1, it is this one. Udva mulam adashakam ashvatam pravavyayam chandam siyasya panani yastam veda saveravit. This meta is called Anustup. You will find it. And then you will find another meta, which we will chant now, in text 5. Nirmanamoha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivreta kama dvantve vimukta sukha dukkha sangya gacchandya muda padamamyayanta. The verse describes those who can go into the reality of the spiritual world, who can join the Lord in His eternal blissful abode. It gives us the items of practicing the yoga of bhakti, the bhakti yoga or purushottam yoga. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, those who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person. Those people attain to the eternal kingdom. You will say, that's a lot. I don't think I will ever in my life fulfill these conditions. How can I become free from pride and illusion and false association? How can I be free from material lust and unaffected by happiness and distress?
It's simple.
Someone has written to me just now as we started. How to be sincere and serious in devotional life, Maharaj? We just tend to be slack again and again, despite hearing from devotees and being in the association of wonderful devotees. Yes, we can try to leave the world, but it seems to stick with the glue that we cannot cut so easily with us. But it's so easy in the month of Purushottam. Just start in sincerity your devotional activities. Knowledge and understanding alone cannot help you. But as the verse says, surrender to the Lord can help you. Let me give you an example. Let us say there is a cave in the Himalaya mountains, undiscovered. No one has seen it up till now. It is a sealed cave. That means there's some rock before. And let us say some people who are interested in caves, or who want to find treasures in caves, who know that there's Himalaya salt or gold or something in these caves, they remove the rock and they bring light into the cave. Now the darkness in the cave may be millions of years old. It may be really deep rooted darkness. However, when there is a simple light, a simple flame like this one, from a simple little tool like this lighter, all the darkness of the cave will go. So if you introduce two simple things in your life, then the darkness of ignorance will move away, it will flee. And these are to hear about Krishna. That's why we are advised to read the Gita and also the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we respond to all this hearing by a little simple gesture of offering some service, offering some worship to Krishna. Then this darkness, which may be millions and trillions of years old, will simply be removed. This pride is a symptom of attachment. This delusion is a symptom of attachment. Material lust is a symptom of attachment. Being affected by happiness and distress is a symptom of attachment. And if you can learn to bring this attachment, this desire, which is the basis of the whole material existence, the basis of your whole material life, bring it to Krishna, then it will be very, very easy. And the easiest way to do this is to just listen to the beautiful katha of Krishna. And then the Krishna sun, the light of Krishna, will come and take care of the darkness. Yes, you hear more and more about Krishna and his devotees, then this will be done. I want to end this katha by glorifying a devotee called Bandhu. He lived in the, I believe, 17th century or so. He was a little boy in Bengal who had lost his parents, both father and mother, in a tragic way, and totally orphaned and disturbed in his mind, he turned into a beggar who visited the town of Navadvip. And somehow he was going through the streets of the town as a beggar until he met a devotee, and he said, Krishna is your real friend. Krishna can help you. This little boy, Bandhu, said, where can I meet Krishna? And he went all through the town and asked people, where can I meet Krishna? I want to meet Krishna. And the people thought, little boy, 5 years old, or 6 years, or I don't know, six, seven, maybe like this. He's saying, how can I meet Krishna? It's not so easy, he thought. They thought, and they said, they ignored Bandhu's question. He is a little kid, what does he know? But then other devotee said, well, one says Krishna is in Vrindavan. Find some pilgrims who go to Vrindavan and ask them to take you along. Bandhu did this. He found out, he asked people, now, is someone going to Vrindavan? Do you know that someone goes to Vrindavan? And he found eventually pilgrims, and they were kind to him after finding out he's an orphan, he has no one. They took him to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he learned further, well, if you want to go to Krishna, you first need to hear about Krishna. Hear more and more. How can I hear? Who can tell me? Said Bandhu. Well, there is one Guruji staying in Sringavat. He does Bhagavat Katha. You just go there. Bandhu went there. The exalted devotee, who was a guru, found him to be full of good qualities and said, Bandhu, you can stay here. Yeah, I will give you enough food and you can hear regularly Bhagavatam Katha. And as your service, I request you to take out the cows every day. So Bandhu learned that Krishna goes with his cows to the Jamuna. And he took the cows to the banks of the Jamuna. There was good grass there. And one day, he saw some dust cloud coming from the distance. And he did not know from where the dust came. But then he started to see many, many cows. Not just a few, yet I think something like 9 cows to take care of. And in that, amongst these many cows, he saw two, he saw a few boys dancing and dancing and dancing. And then he saw Krishna, two special boys. And he went to the special boys and said, who are you? And the special boy said, Krishna. And the other said, Balaram. Come, dance with us. And Bandhu spent a wonderful day. And at the end of the day, Krishna asked him, you have something to eat in your tiffin? I see there's a tiffin. And Bandhu said, yes, 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 please take. I have played so much, I forgot to eat. Krishna took a little and said, well, tell the Guruma, the wife of the Guru where you stay, it tastes very good, if she can please cook a little bit more. Also for us. We have something from Yashoda, but we are very hungry, we've been playing all day. Tell your Guruma, she should also bring, cook a little and bring that along. So every day Bandhu came, he could not wait. And every day he said to the wife of the guru where he was staying, please cook a little bit more. And she saw Bandhu was now very happy, he was very inspired. The sadness which had covered him like a dark cloud of misfortune had gone, and she was so happy that she didn't ask and just cooked. But eventually, something happened. Krishna said, tomorrow we need to make a big feast. Please bring an ox cart full of sabjis, vegetables, and flour, and so on. Tomorrow we will cook out here a great feast. And Bandhu said, from where should I bring it? Ask your guru and the guruma. They should load everything on an ox cart. So when they heard this in the evening, that Bandhu wants a whole ox cart of uncooked vegetables, they thought maybe our little boy, whom we have adopted, has fallen in the hands of rascals who just want to have food. And the guru said, let me come along and check. So they brought the ox cart, they went to the Jamuna. Bandhu saw Krishna coming and became ecstatic and ran and danced. The guru was looking. He didn't see cows. He didn't see the dust. He didn't see cowherd boys. He didn't certainly see Krishna Balaram. He saw nothing. He saw only Bandhu running in wild abundance and dancing. So the guru said, Bandhu, and started to run after Bandhu to calm him down. And as he ran, he overlooked a stone and he stumbled. So Krishna at that moment saw this person has given shelter to my Bandhu, my devotee. He's not yet on the level to have my direct sangha, my direct association, but he has served my devotee. I like to, and he's falling now, and within a whiff, he came and he held the guru. He caught the guru who was stumbling over the stone so that he would not fall on the ground and maybe hurt himself. So when that fortunate person was caught by Krishna and was in the arms of Krishna, an ecstatic thrill went through his body, and for a moment his eyes opened, his spiritual eyes, and he saw Krishna before him, And that was such an overwhelming darshan that he lost his consciousness and fainted in ecstasy. After Krishna, Balaram, and all the coward boys and cows had gone, the vegetables had been cooked. It was a long, long time which they spent cooking. It was cooked and eating. The Guru was still lying at the banks of the Yamuna. Krishna said to Bandhu, "We have to go now. You please take care of that devotee who's a guru, who gives the Bhagavad Katha, who gave you shelter. Take care of this good man." And Bandhu then somehow pulled him on the ox cart and he came home. All the vegetables were gone, and the ox cart was lying this blissful but still unconscious guru, and he brought home the wife of the guru, took care of her husband, and eventually he came out and said, it's true, our Bandhu has found Krishna. My dear devotees, my dear listeners, my dear skeptics also, if any one of you should be in that category, please find out for yourself. Find out the blessings of the Purushottam months. It is said, anyone who simply does some little service in the months of Purushottam, he will attain the spiritual world. And the simple service or simple observances are very, very easy to do. Read the 15th chapter of the Gita, hear about Krishna more and more. Don't be lazy, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Hey Jiva, he says, this is a good time. And then do the simple thing. Offer a light to either the deities or the beautiful image of the Lord. And in this way, you will experience great, great blessings. The darkness of material existence will leave, and the sun of Krishna will become more and more visible in your heart and help you very much. I will end here and read out to you a little announcement. We have on the 24th of October, that's Saturday, at 3 p.m. Central European Time, that's 6:30 Indian Standard Time. Is it, or is it? I read here. We have on the 24th of October, 3 p.m. our European time, a wonderful seminar based on Harinam Chintamani. It is called The Heart of the Holy Name. If you like to be in this seminar, well, there is a lot of, it's 1.5 hours, there will be some knowledge about the Holy Name, but a lot of practice, how to deepen your practice, and at the end we will answer questions. If you like, you may please join us. Thank you very much. I went a little over time, therefore I will say goodbye to all of you now and wish you all the best. And don't forget, a little light can dispel all the darkness of material existence. A little bhakti-filled practices, especially in this month, can do wonders and miracles in your spiritual life. Hare Krishna.